wish never more to roam. And on some happy morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, I will go to meet my Lord up yonder in the sky.
God made a way,
for me
beyond the Christmas tree. He's coming back someday. He's gonna take me home to stay. I live forevermore. All along that golden shore. Oh, what a wonderful, happy day.
God made a way.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a while. How's everybody doing? Good.
Yeah.
This morning, just welcome back, everybody. It's been, I think, 10 weeks, according to my math, since we last all met in this building. Some of you may have been in the building at random times, but not all together as a church family. And one of the focuses I want to have this morning is just about prayer. I think as we come back together, as we join back together as a family, it'd be good to spend some time just praying and focusing on God this morning. So we're going to do that through prayer and through songs. Would you just join me in prayer this morning? Our great and mighty and awesome Heavenly Father, you are our provider. You are our protector. You are merciful, you are gracious. Your word tells us you are slow to anger, you're abounding in steadfast love. Father, we just want to bless your name this morning. We honor you because you are the only one worthy of our praise. You are the only one worthy of our adoration. We come before you as your children and you offer compassion to us. God, we're excited to come back together as your church. We're together as your body. God, I pray that we would submit to your headship, the headship of your Son, Jesus Christ. May he rule and reign over our thoughts. May he rule and reign over the actions in our lives. God, I just pray that you would use us. Use us as we praise you this morning. May our praise be a sweet-smelling offering to your ears. I just pray that our hearts would be in tune with what you want to tell us this morning. Use us as we seek to please you with the things we say and we do. God, we want to be effective as your church. Help us use the gifts, the talents, the abilities that you yourself have given to us as a church. It's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. We invite you to stand and join us in singing this morning. If you don't feel like you can stand, you can stay seated, whatever you want to do.
Thank you.
This next song is based off of Psalm 121, and that's going to be our scripture for this morning that we're going to be hearing from God's Word.
Again, good morning. It's nice to be here in front of you all to see people out there instead of Brian behind the camera that we're talking to a little bit. But no, that's fine. It's been fun. We've had a good time putting church together for you guys as you've watched it online. If you take out your bulletins, let's just look at some of the things that are going on in the life of the church. There's a lot of things here on the announcements. So let's just start going through some of those. Again, you notice as you came in, we've got face masks, Kleenex, sanitized stations for your convenience. Again, feel free to use those or not use those. That's up to you. Just a note that the nursery will not be staffed during our morning worship services for a little while here, but it is available to use in any way that you need. We'll not be passing the offering plates this morning. Again, there's a box in the back for you to put your tithes and offerings into, should you desire for that. Again, thank you for coming this morning. Obviously, we're going to be reevaluating as we move forward with guidelines that come out from the state, et cetera, and see how this is all going to work. Again, if you have a concern or anything, get with someone on the ministerial board, and again, their names are there in the bulletin. If this is your first time, again, being here amongst us, fill out a welcome card. We'd love to get to know you and who you are. They're in the back of the pew. And again, on those cards, you can put prayer requests, praises, needs, concerns, or information that you'd like Roger to have. Put them in the boxes in the back of the sanctuary as you exit, and we'd be glad to take care of those. And again, Roger's office hours typically from 9 to 2, Monday through Thursday. Again, his phone numbers, his email, his text message in there. If you need him, please feel to reach out and get in contact with him. He would love to be able to spend time with you. Again, welcome back. It's great to see your faces as we worship God together.
Join us as we sing this morning. We have come into his house.
To his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
God helps us when we're afraid. Psalm 121. What's it like to come back together after being separated for over 2 months? I feel like it's a unique time in kind of our society. I know I haven't missed being in church on a Sunday morning for that long of a stretch my entire life. You know, Stacy and our family, we would sit at home and our schedule would kind of look like we get up on a Sunday morning, kind of more laid back, and the girls would still dress up in dresses because they love to get dressed up in dresses, and we would put some Sunday school, some of the music they listened to in Sunday school, and listen to that, and they'd dance around our living room, and we'd do a small Sunday school lesson, and then we'd watch a video we'd made on a Friday night or a Saturday morning. It was unique. And some of you, that's the way you are too. You hadn't missed church that much other than maybe being sick for a week or two or a snow day or something like that. It's a unique time. And as I pondered us coming back together, what should I preach for this first Sunday back? I kept coming back to the songs of ascent. The songs of ascent are found in Psalm chapter 120 through 134. These 15 psalms, many believe, were sung when the Jewish people would travel from their homes. They'd travel from wherever they lived in Israel, and they would travel to Jerusalem. There were several festivals that they would come to Jerusalem for. First was Passover. And the Festival of Weeks would later be known as Pentecost, which is actually being celebrated this week. And the Festival of Booths. They may not travel at any other times of the year, but they would make these festivals a priority to make sure they went to Jerusalem and traveled and came in for these great festivals. Part of the process of them traveling for these festivals was many of them had memorized Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. These songs tend to stick with us. We remember the words. My girls are great at memorizing songs. Many of you are great at memorizing songs because they stick with us. And that's the way these psalms were. Chapter 121, if you have your Bibles, or if you want to grab the Bible in the pew in front of you, feel free to do that. Psalm 121, it starts out like this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Then the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. people had to leave their homes. They took a risk by leaving their homes and traveling to Jerusalem. There was always a possibility of trouble happening whenever they left their homes, and they'd have to travel through mountainous terrain. The hills are in front of them, and in the midst of the hills comes the trouble. They could find themselves in the midst of this journey becoming sick. They could find themselves getting injured or even being beaten and robbed. I think there are people right now who find themselves afraid. One of the effects of the virus on our lives is, I think, a fearfulness that's developed. 10 weeks ago, there are terms that we wouldn't have had in our vocabulary. Social distancing, flattening the curve. Even the word quarantine has taken on a new meaning. These words were not in our vocabulary before, or at least not to the extent that they are now. There's a fear that's developed, and maybe it's not a full-blown agoraphobia. Agoraphobia is when you have a fear of going outside. There's something out there that you can't control, and so you're going outside and something's going to happen. Maybe it's not that kind of a fear, but it's still causing people to weigh the risks of even going to the grocery store and what that may look like. I think it's hard at times, especially when people are wearing masks. You sense it's all different. You sense people maybe have fear of what's going to happen, of what's going on. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? You see, what he's doing is the leader is posing a question to all those around him. And then the rest of the verses is their response. The leader's saying on this journey, I lift my eyes up to the hills as they're traveling through this mountainous terrain. From where does my help come? He's answered by his fellow sojourners. And this morning, there's four assurances of God's help when we're afraid. Four assurances of God's help when we're afraid. God is creator. God is creator. Since God created everything, we understand he's powerful, he's wise, he's glorious. He designed it all and he is in control. God is sovereign over all of creation. In the book of Romans, you can go to the next slide there. In the book of Romans, Paul writes, for his invisible attributes, his being God there, for God's invisible attributes, got to get that word out, namely his eternal power and divine nature have been, what's the word there? Clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. So we can see God through his creation. We can see specifically his eternal power and divine nature, Paul tells us, in the creation of the world and in the things that have been made, Paul clarifies. So they are without excuse. Those who don't believe in God, they're without excuse because they can see these things evidently in what God has created. I don't know if you've ever spent time trying to put something together. I asked my girls last night to help me. I wanted them to build me a tower. So these are their interpretations of my instructions, which was build me a tower. This is Ellie's interpretation and Naomi's interpretation. They didn't like what they built last night enough for me, so they did their own interpretations this morning. They were up, and this is Ellie's interpretation and Naomi's interpretation of what I asked them to build. Now, at times in our house, one will be working on building something, and the other one will come along and do something. Do you know what that is? They tip it over. They knock it down. And what happens? Ah! You knocked over my tower. They know it's true because it happens. You knocked over my tower. They want to show off what they've made. They want to show off their creations. Both of them do it. I think that's kind of a representative of how God is with his creation. He doesn't want it to just come along and to be destroyed. That's not God's hope. It's not God's promises for his creation. He wants his creation to be restored, to be renewed, to be better than it is right now. God is creator. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, next slide there, God makes this promise through the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." What are the first two words? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Why? Because God is creator. When he designed the world, when he was in the act of creating, what did he say after each step? He said, "It is good." It is good. It is very good. We don't need to fear because God is our creator. The second assurance of God's help when we're afraid is God keeps watch. God keeps watch. Verse 3, it says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not stumble. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." The psalmist assures the reader that God is watching out for them. It would be easy for a traveler to be traveling along a trip and sprain their ankle in the midst of their walking. There was a rough terrain that was happening. It could cause anything to really happen, bad things to happen. But God is attentive to all the things that are going on in our lives. He's not a distant God who doesn't care. He's always watching over those who are his people. The term "keep" there, that's used several times throughout this whole passage, it means to guard something, to protect it, to take good care of something. There are two sides to taking care of it. It's both the physical and the spiritual. Because we are physical, I can see and touch, but we're also spiritual beings, and it's taking care of those, and God is watching over both sides. God can guard and protect and take care of both the physical and the spiritual, but sometimes he only chooses to do one and not the other, and that's God's prerogative. Steve, you can go to the next slide there. This is my little buoy this morning, my little lifeguard-saving buoy. Somebody was drowning out there, I could throw it to them. Have you ever seen a lifeguard on duty? What are they doing? They're watching. They have to be very attentive in their watching, right? If they get distracted, what's going to happen? They could miss a kid going underwater. They could miss somebody crying out for help. They have to be constantly watching. Lifeguards quite often will switch out very frequently. 15-minute, 30-minute intervals, because it takes so much focus, so much concentration to watch the waters. They'll give each other breaks or shift stations so that they have a different perspective. Lifeguards may need breaks, but God doesn't need a break in his watching over us. He doesn't need a break. He's constantly watching over those he loves, and that's an assurance for why we don't need to be afraid, because God is watching over us. The third assurance of God's help when we're afraid is God is near to us. God is near to us. He's not only watching out for us, but he's also close by us. He's near to us like the shade on our hand. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. There's a double meaning here. He's talking about the sun and its shining, the heat by day. The heat could be oppressive. I was outside for a little while yesterday. You can't really see it now, but I burn easily. I was outside for a little while last night. I was like, I'm burned again. I was barely outside, I feel like, and I'm burned. But saying more, God is more near to us than the sun on our skin. The heat was oppressive, but also at nighttime, the temperatures dropped. And they would need protection. They would need something over them to keep them warm. It also has a meaning of they kept track of things by the sun coming up and going down and by the phases of the moon. And so by day, sun coming up and going down, and the phases of the moon would tell them the months. So God is not just near to you right now, but God is near to you every day. God is near to you throughout the calendar year. God is near. I brought a little pot of dirt with me this morning. Got some potting soil in here, but what happens when you work in dirt? What happens to your hands? You can go to the next slide there.
You get all dirty.
You get all dirty. What happens? You get dirty. If you work enough in it, still dirty. If you work enough in it, it gets under your nails, it gets on your skin. Even when you wash your hands, you still have the dirt there. Another illustration of this I have up there is an onion. I don't know if you've ever cut an onion in your kitchen and then you wash your hands and then later you're like doing something, you have an itch and you go to itch your nose, you're like, oh, onion. I still smell onion. God is near to us like that. That is what the author of Psalms 121 is saying here. That is how close God is to you. He's there. He is on your skin. God is near to you. God is near to you. The final assurance of God's help when we're afraid. God looks ahead for us. God looks ahead for us. God is able to take bad circumstances, even those that maybe we perceive as being evil. He takes bad circumstances and uses them for good. Joseph is an example of this in Scripture. Joseph was hated by his brothers, separated from his father for 13 years, falsely accused by his employer's wife, and then he was thrown into prison. That's a bunch of bad circumstances. Bad, some would say evil. But in the end, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he was able to say this. You meant, speaking to his brothers here, his brothers have finally come and they're worried that he's going to, because he's like second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt, they're worried that he's going to have retribution against them. But he says, you meant evil against me, talking to his brothers there. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. To bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You meant it for good. The nation of Israel grew and grew and grew until it was a huge nation, and the people of Egypt began worrying, and then they enslaved the nation. But Moses came and led the people out. They travel because of their circumstances, travel in the desert for how many years, do you remember? 40. Travel in the desert for 40 years, and they finally come to the promised land, and Moses is relinquishing control. He's turning over control to Joshua. And he speaks these words to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord goes ahead. The Lord looks ahead for us. He is with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. The struggles, the hardships, the difficulties, even the evil that we have to go through, God's going to use those things. I don't know how. I don't know exactly why. I know there's a piece of it that he uses those to transform us. He uses those to help keep us, draw us near to him. That's a piece of it. But some of it we're not going to know till we see him. And then we're going to go, oh, that was good and right and true. Because that's who you are, God. You are good and right and true. And everything that happened, we will understand under those eyes. God will guard over our lives. Even if our physical bodies fail, verse 7, he will keep your life. That's there, I think, that we're talking about guarding our physical or guarding our spiritual. He will keep your life. Even if our physical bodies may fail. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, cast all your anxieties, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares, God cares for you. He cares for you. God is outside of time. Final illustration this morning, I brought a pair of binoculars with me. You can go to the next picture there, Steve. Brought my binoculars. Helping you guys get a little vision of what I'm looking at here. What are binoculars used for?
Looking at things.
Looking at things. Hi, Brian. Way in the back there. Helps things that are far away look closer, right? Helps things that are in the distance look closer to me. It magnifies things. When it comes to our lives, we don't always have we don't always have binoculars to look ahead and go, what's in the future? Sometimes we have thoughts about that. Sometimes we make plans about that, but they don't always come to fruition. They don't always come to be. We can't always see what's ahead. We don't always know the future, but guess who does?
God.
God knows the future. Before there was a beginning in Genesis 1:1, God existed. He has always been and he always will be. He is the everlasting, eternal I am. God knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. We don't need to fear because God knows what the future holds. God knows what the future holds. There are times that we're going to be afraid of things. Maybe it's this virus. Maybe it's something else. But fear is a part of our lives. It's one of the emotions we experience, and there are going to be times when we're afraid. But what does Psalm 121 tell us? That we have assurance of who God is. It tells us, I lift my eyes up to the hills. I see trouble on the horizon. From where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Final slide there. You are assured that God will help you whenever you feel afraid. Whenever you feel afraid, God will help you. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we know that you are a good God, that you are true and right in all things. God, help us to be assured of who you are
in the midst of the troubles that come at us in life. God, help us to recognize you as creator. Creator and sustainer of life. Recognize that you keep watch, that you do not need to slumber or sleep. You're constantly keeping watch over those of whom you love, that you are near to us. Near as the sun is when it hits our skin. God, you are looking ahead for us. You know the beginning and the end, and even this short little blip that is our lives. You know, God. God, help us to trust you. Help us to love you. Help us to come near to you whenever we have these feelings. Because you are our hope. You are our help. And you are sovereign over all. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning our closing song is "To God Be the Glory." Great things he has done as the creator, as those, the one who watches over us, who's near to us. To God be the glory. Would you stand and sing with us? Great. Give him the glory this week for the things he's done. Hope you have a blessed week. God bless. Some of it gets a little awkward.